Hey, Pet Nation, Dr. T here, and on today's episode, this guy behind me, Dr. C.G. Byers, double boarded, emergency critical care, internal medicine. This is how many double boarded people that I personally know. That's it. Three veterinarians that are double boarded. He's also the founder and editor-in-chief of Critical Care DBM. It's an educational resource for both pet parents like you and even veterinary team members, individuals like myself. And today we're going to talk about the triad of care, which is basically a triangle based of people like me, your, as I call them, day practitioner or general practitioner, your regular vet, yourself as pet parents, and specialists such as CG. It could be specialty in any field, and how communication between us is incredibly important. That's one of his passions. So listen in, he's got some great pointers for both veterinary team members and pet parents. And I hope you enjoy it. Someone in my position, I'm what I consider myself a day practitioner. I can do what I can do up to a certain point pertaining to equipment, pertaining to skills. And then as our profession progresses, as time progresses, we're actually at the point now where there is specialists for every sort of division of healthcare for pets. And as a general practitioner, I'm working with individuals like you. And usually individuals like you reside at what we call referral, especially 24-hour facilities, where there's a giant hospitals for pets, so to speak. And so a lot of clients, even today, even though that sort of relationship exists, they still don't quite understand what's involved with what I can provide for them, and then taking it to the next level of continued care with what you guys can provide for them. So why don't we set it up as just a scenario of I have a certain situation here, whether it's emergent or heavily medically involved or requiring specialty surgery, and then we pass that on to the local referral centers for further care.
Sure. So what you're describing is what I call, and I didn't coin the phrase, but I embrace it. It's called the triad of care. So what are the three points of that triad? Obviously the pet owner, the primary care doctor and their team, and then when needed, board certified veterinary specialists in whatever discipline is appropriate. One point on the triangle is no more or less important than the others. It's a collaborative partnership between all three entities of that triad. I think it's important to remember that, because some pet owners are nervous about seeking second opinions. They don't want to upset their family veterinarian. And what I tell them is, no primary care colleague that I've ever encountered in the past two decades ever gets upset with a second opinion, because everything is shared. We all work together. It's really a fun part of veterinary medicine for me, because the thing that drives me, the thing about which I'm most passionate, is education. My job, and I truly feel this, my job is to make sure that pet owners understand their pet's health issues as best as I can. And that can be really challenging sometimes, as you know, because of how complicated things get. But I also have a responsibility and a desire to educate my colleagues in primary care. Just as much as I love learning from them. There are so many aspects of primary care that I'm like, don't ask me that, I don't know. My own animals have a primary care doctor. I do not know. We need to talk to your primary care doctor. So that's, again, highlights the fact that one point on that triangle is no better than the other, but we're all involved in this educational process. And that's really why I started criticalcaredbm.com, to provide that high level educational information that's written to the level of a pet owner, so that they can take it home, digest that information on their own, maybe stimulate some questions that facilitates an amazing conversation with a primary care doctor, or if they've consulted with a specialist, both medical teams, and it helps them feel more comfortable with their pet's disease process. And it's been my experience that when an owner feels comfortable about their pet's healthcare, their pet's healthcare team, they're more likely to heed the medical recommendations.
Excellent. Excellent way of putting that. How do you get over that hump, though, of trust? You know, you mentioned trust. It's interesting. The other critical list friend of mine, Garrett Packinger, right? He said that, you know, if I have a long-term client for myself, I've developed this huge emotional bank, right, that I could draw upon, and that, you know, it's almost at the point we can definitely see, my clients can understand where I'm coming from, I understand where they're coming from, almost have a shorthand as we do things. And then an emergent problem happens and they go to see Garrett, and Garrett walks in, first time ever meeting this client, right? And since it's a critical situation, we're talking, you know, the estimate is, you know, 5 days in hospital at blah, 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 right? You know, so it's one of those things is how do you, I'd love to hear your viewpoint on how you get over that, that sort of, it's almost like a hurdle. It's almost like a door you have to go through with that client, right? Like, clearly they're relying on their primary care physician's recommendation. So the way I do it, and I don't know if every day practitioner is the same, is if I have a relationship with a specialist in the area, that's kind of, you know, where I would guide my client to go. My criteria is, where do you live? Where have you been? And what kind of experience have you had? Because I've got like 5 referral centers around me. So if it's location, then clearly there. If it's somewhere they've had experience with, whether I know anyone there or not, then clearly they have an emotional bank there. And third is, if they haven't had a great experience, let's say, then it gives me the opportunity to introduce a colleague of mine that I do know and can make a phone call and go from there. But how do you deal with that first time interaction with a client you've never met before?
I think there's 3 major steps. One starts with you, one starts with me, and one starts with the client. I'll get the client one out of the way. It's because it's the simplest. They just need to be open to hearing a different perspective, to hearing from somebody new. What sets up for a great partnership, a very functional triad of care on the part of primary care colleagues, is when clients are adequately prepared. So telling them and letting them know what that referral process is like for the hospital with which you have a relationship. So we're going to forward all of your pet's complete medical records related to this problem. I'm going to speak with that specialist and let them know what my concerns are, where I need their help, so that we'll have talked. So now the specialist has my medical records. We've communicated, and one of the important things to communicate, like it or not, is cost. I don't know any specialist that doesn't give a primary colleague a verbal guesstimate for what they're thinking may be going on. And to give that client the information before they come over to the referral hospital is so exceedingly helpful, I can't underscore, bold, italicize it enough. Referral medicine, specialty medicine, is more expensive than primary care. That's just a fact. The hospitals have higher overhead, so costs go up, and it's just a fact of the real world. There's no judgment on anybody's part for families if they can't afford it, but one of the things that guts me is when owners come over and they spend $150, $200 of money for a consult, we present them with an appropriate treatment plan, and there's no way on the planet at that moment in time that they can do anything. And I know that I would have spoken to the colleague and said, based on what you're describing, here's what I'm thinking, and the average workup for that type of problem is $2,000 to $2,500. Please relay that to the family and we're ready to see them as soon as they get here or whenever their consultation is. And to have them come over and waste, I don't say waste, but know that they're not going to be able to do more. Personally, I feel like I've wasted their money. So adequately preparing clients for that trip to the specialty hospital. I think another thing to recognize is, at least my experience has been at specialty hospitals, we utilize our nurses much more than in primary care. That's not to say that primary care hospitals don't utilize their nurses appropriately. We just use them a lot. They are a huge part of the healthcare team, at least at my hospital. Quite honestly, most of my clients call for my nurse and not for me, because they want to talk to Molly or Megan and not to me. And that's great, because they have a great relationship with the nurses and with me. So to let them know that things may be a little bit differently, you're going to meet a nurse, you're going to meet assistants, and a lot of the specialty hospitals are also teaching hospitals. So to let them know, you might meet an intern or specialty intern or a resident. They're all doctors and they're working with the specialist, but you might meet a team of people. And that's a unique experience, especially if they're not expecting it. And then what do I do? How do I approach it? I think you've just got to be a good communicator. And that's a blanket statement. And sometimes you can't teach some of the communication skills because it falls under the realm of common sense. And it's the unteachable skill. I think you can teach folks some communication skills, but sometimes you're just a good communicator and sometimes you're not. I think I'm a good communicator, especially in a consultation room, because I'm in the moment. Everybody else in my family is an educator, except for my dad, who is a businessman. At all levels, university, elementary, middle school. So all of them told me, think of your exam room like your classroom. You are there to educate, and you need to appear confident, knowledgeable, which I'm an introvert. Nobody in this profession ever believes me when I say I'm an introvert, because I lecture so much and I love doing it. But I get my energy not from other people. I have to come home after a day of consults and energize by myself. I have to plug into the alone battery, so to speak. And a lot of veterinarians are that way.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it can be challenging for an introvert to always be on, so to speak, in the exam room, but you just have to be. I think one of the worst things in an exam room is an exam table. I wish they did not exist. In my exam room, the exam table is a desk. It's where I'm making notes while I'm talking to the family. But when I'm ready to examine the patient, I'm on the floor. Whether it's a cat, Great Dane, Shih Tzu, it doesn't matter, I'm on the floor. And I'll continue to be on the floor as long as I'm physically able to get back up off the floor.
you and me are in the same boat, buddy, because I do the same thing. I'm on the floor and I said, as long as my knees hold out, my knees are back, I'm
exactly
down.
But awesome. I got to tell you, sometimes you'll go into a room, and I'm sure you've experienced this, you walk into the room, you acknowledge the pet first. Hey, Fluffy. And then you say, oh, you must be mom or dad. Or then you acknowledge the owners. And I think that's appropriate. Clients love when you actually take an interest in their pet. And most of the time, honestly, I'll just immediately get down on the floor and do my client interview in that location while the animal's just walking around, exploring. And you know, a lot of the times, by the time I'm ready to do my exam, the dog is sitting next to me. The dog has come up multiple times and has sniffed and licked, and they see the positive interaction with the family, and they're like, okay, mom and dad are listening to this guy. They're using nice tones of voices. This is okay. This isn't too bad. I don't really want to be here because it smells like a hospital, but it's okay. And the exam goes off without a hitch. I love to do an exam with owners in the room so I can talk to them about what I'm doing, and sometimes even show them what I'm seeing. And it, I think it adds value. It helps them understand what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. And then I come up with my treatment plan, and my nursing team takes care of that. Well, unfortunately, I have medical records to type up.
Thanks for watching another great episode. If you liked it, please subscribe, like it, comment. Let me know how we're doing. Love to hear from you. But most importantly, remember, everyone, love your pet like they love you unconditionally. Have a great day.